Everybody here at the podium, we're going to kick off our pre-race press conferences for today's 62nd annual Daytona 500 by welcoming our honorary starter, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Dale is, of course, a two-time Daytona 500 champion, 2004, 2014, and he has had several different roles since he ran his final full-time season back in 2017. He has been our honorary pace truck driver. He has been the Grand Marshal. And today, Dale, you're going to wave the green flag for the Daytona 500 as the honorary starter. Have you ever been an honorary starter before, and have you thought about how you're going to do the job today?
Yeah, I was a flag man at Peavely, Schrader's Dirt Track, once, so got a little experience. But, you know, I skipped a few steps along the way to get up to the big time and be here today for the biggest race in stock car of the stock car season. So I'm excited. Should be a lot of fun. Chip's been such a great guy to work with. I like to call him a promoter, even though his title is truly the president. You know, he's just he works really hard, great attitude, great personality, treats everybody nice. And that's kind of what's created this little string of, you know, visits to this race, or else I'd be at home watching it on the couch. So I'm not sure exactly. We're kind of running out of ideas and things to do, but he says he's got something for next year, so we'll see what he comes up with. But I'm not singing the anthem. That's no – I don't think y'all want me to do that. So that'll probably be my last time at any sporting event if I ever did that. But it's just, I appreciate the opportunity to be even a small part of this race and what happens here today, because it is a very special day for our sport each and every year. And it's going to be fun just to be able to – I think the perspective from standing in the flag stand as the field comes toward to take the green flag to kick off this race – I know exactly what's going through all those guys' minds and in their hearts as they're starting the race. And there's going to be so much really cool energy from where I'll be. And I'm excited to be able to experience that just once. And they said I could stick around for a lap or two to really get a sense of the speed and, what that experience is like from the flag stand. So I'm excited for that little bit of a thrill.
Thank you, Dale. It's great to have you here. We've got some wireless mics. We've got some time for some Q&A. We'll start over with Al right over here to Dale's left.
Yeah, Dale. Al Pearson, Auto Week. Your company has come a long way in a fairly short time. When do you anticipate going to Cup?
We probably never go to Cup. I mean, it just takes so much, so many more employees. You got to, it's difficult to find funding to be in the Cup Series, and this is just me. I mean, my sister, we'd have to sever our relationship with Rick somehow because he couldn't have a fifth car as an owner. It just creates so many there's just too many roadblocks and hurdles and challenges to get to the Cup level. We really like the business model that we have for our Xfinity program. We've really honed it and tuned it to where we can do it efficiently. And we'd have to really relearn a whole entirely new budget and what we can and can't accomplish, what we can't afford. Our guys will come up with like five ways we can get faster, and we can't have all five. We have to look at economically what makes the most sense for us as a company to balance our budget. So, I also think that the things that I enjoy about being in the Xfinity Series would go away if I moved to Cup. We enjoy working with young guys. We enjoy working with old veterans, giving people their first opportunity or a second chance. And we enjoy graduating mechanics, crew chiefs, engineers up into the Cup level. That's as fun for me, even more fun than winning races. When a driver calls me on my cell phone in the middle of the off season and says, "Man, I got some bad news. I got a call from Richard Petty, and they want me to come drive a race car next year, and I think I'm going to do it. I'm like, that's the best news you could have told me. That's exactly what we're trying to accomplish, is to get these guys to the next level. And we wouldn't have that if you're racing the Cup Series. So I really like where we're at, and we're successful in the Xfinity Series.
Go right over here, and then we'll go there.
Dustin Albino, front shut down. A little over a month, you'll be back in the car at Homestead. How excited are you for that, and how do you prepare for those races?
Yeah, I know it's coming fast, you know. Typically, I have all year to sort of wait for it to happen. But I'm nervous. I'll be honest. I'm a little nervous. Just, you know, being out of the car for a year, it's kind of tough jumping back in there, and it's – getting right back into it and understanding exactly where the limits are. And luckily we're running right on the fence at Homestead, and the limits are right there. So if I get into it, those cars are pretty tough, and old Xfinity cars, so you can get in the wall a little bit and not really have to worry too much about hurting your car. So I'm sure I'm going to tear the right side off that thing after practice qualifying through the race. I'm going to hit it several times. So I'm just going to go ahead and prepare myself for that. But, We might just show up, not even have decals on the right side. It's really probably a waste of time. I really miss racing. I really miss driving, and it's getting worse. I thought as I got out of the car and the further I got from my full-time career, the less that would bother me, but it actually is getting worse for some reason. So I really look forward to getting some seat time and smelling the smells and hearing the noises and just enjoying being in the car.
We'll go right here, and then we'll continue.
Peter Strada with TSJ Sports. Dale, right here. Obviously, the president's attending. That's brought a lot more attention and hype. Back in 2004 when President Bush attended, do you remember anything to this magnitude?
I remember him being here, really cool. I remember winning the race, getting a phone call in the press room upstairs, and being able to talk to him. I guess there's pictures of me and him out on pit road talking. I don't even remember what we talked about or if that was really even a real conversation. Looks like we're just right in the middle of something really good, but it's probably nothing like that. But I actually, to be able to have a personal phone call and be able to really have a conversation back and forth with the president as the winner of this race was something I'll never forget. So, pretty cool. Certainly brings a lot of attention to us. We already, this is already a big day for us because of this being the most important race of the season or the biggest race when everybody wants to win. It just kind of adds to that.
I'm going to go right up here, then we're going to go to Bruce and to Mark.
Zach Tan's ready, kickthetires.net. That's a very nice vintage shirt for Daytona. Is that something fairly new that you've gotten, or is that something out of the closet?
Yeah, I got this on Etsy. probably $20. I just thought it was cool. I like they're going around the corner. I love this sort of era of the sport, sexy little race cars and awesome style. The 70s was just so amazing. I wasn't there to really honestly comment on how great it was, but it sure looked cool. And I always say, if I could have been sort of placed into any particular era as a driver or to be a witness to what was happening and walk around in the garage, it would definitely be mid to late 70s. It just really looked like a great time for the sport, and the sport was really sort of getting some national traction and had some great characters and personalities as drivers that were bigger than life.
I go to Bruce, then we're going to go to Mark.
Hey, Dale. Your NBC career, do you feel more comfortable on air? Do you spend the offseason kind of critiquing your role on the broadcast? And a second question is, being able to do things such as the Rolex 24, the Indy 500, I know how excited you were to be able to have a chance to do those.
Yeah, I'm interested in going back to those events. They'll let me know. I don't know concrete where I'm going, what I'm going to be doing next year, and they'll let me know. And I'm excited if I get those opportunities. It'll be interesting to see how they use me the second time around. I'm not the new guy seeing it for the first time, so hopefully the role will change just a little bit. I didn't think I did a good job last year, not as good as the first year. Some of the things I was going through, my mom passed away, we had the plane crash. A lot of things took the wind out of my sails, so to speak, and it was difficult to jump in there and have sort of that energy that I felt like I had the first year, but looking to rebound this year. And I know it's, people think that it's weird that you would critique yourself as a broadcaster, but I feel so much responsibility in that booth to make sure that the fans know what they're watching and that they see a great race and they know they've seen a great race, and feel like I didn't hit all the marks last year, but excited about this year. Can't wait to get back to where. I mean, when we come, that's another thing about coming to this race. I know we don't work till July, but man, I can't wait, because just being around the cars and being here and seeing the sport sort of kick itself back into gear makes you really look forward to calling the races again. We're going to have some pretty cool, and plus those three guys coming up from the Xfinity Series, Reddick, and they're going to be so much fun to cover as they try to find their legs and get going.
Mark, and then we're going to come up to Michelle, and then we'll go to the press box. Mark.
Mark Long with AP. Dale, just to refresh your memory, you ended that call with the president saying, take it easy, man. But on a serious note, you still talked about missing racing. Does it make you want to do more or seek out more rides potential?
No, not really. I think it's good. It's a healthy thing to miss it, want to do it. I think it helps me in the booth have that energy as a fan. So I think one's plenty, probably one's more than I should be doing. I got, my wife and Isla and all that I should devote as much as I can to them. And one's just perfect, So, I think that it really helps me, remember what the drivers are thinking about. So I'm going to get in that car, and as much as it'll be about having fun, it's also going to be about reminding myself of all the things that goes through a driver's mind when he's out there in the car. And so when I'm in the booth, I'm really able to explain sort of and remember and recall some of the things that emotionally the drivers are dealing with. And it's so helpful on that front. I think that if anything, I'd love to maybe get an opportunity to test the cup car. And I've talked to a couple teams when they're out there testing about hopping in for a few laps. I just really want to know what this package feels like at a mile and a half. And I've never driven the car with the current package, the big downforce and low power. So I'd love to be able to speak on that a little better than I can in the booth. So I may seek out those opportunities, but no more official races.
Okay, I'm going to go to Michelle, then the press box, and then Holly.
Michelle Martinelli, USA Today Sports. Could you elaborate a little bit more about what you thought of Clint Bowyer's impression of you yesterday?
I thought it had heavy on the accent, but some of my friends would even say he nailed it. Just depends on how many beers I've drank. I might sound that way after about six. Or I might sound that way just simply hanging out with him. Sometimes you sort of adopt a little bit of twang from the people you're around. I thought it was the best part of the show until then Brad walked on the crew chief multiple times. That was so funny. And it happens. I mean, it's just live television. You just roll with it. And I really was entertained. I think Clint's got a great future in the booth. If that's what he's aiming for, that will be a real asset to this sport. He's got a great personality, a lot of great energy, and I think he'd be amazing as a broadcaster, and Brad as well. They kind of got a great balance, of sort of contrast in personalities that works really well together. So it was a fun broadcast to watch.
Okay, we'll go to the press box, and then the Holly question from the press box.
Hi, Dale. It's Greg Engel, Auto Week. Your former teammate is soon to join the ranks of semi-retired Mr. Jimmy Johnson. Are you going to, mentor him and help him ease him into that transition? What advice are you going to give him, and what's the best and worst thing about being a semi-retired driver?
That's a lot, man. I think that he's going to have all the advice in the world been thrown at him. I'm not going to get in the middle. He's come to me a couple times, though, and we've talked. I bummed a few plane rides from him last year. It gave us a lot of opportunity to really talk about his thoughts on retirement. And it was kind of fun to see that process play out after the conversations we'd had. I really didn't tell him any shortcuts or any advice. It's more about what to expect and what to feel and what you might feel and how it's going to, because I think a lot of drivers, I went into retirement kind of nervous that had I made the right decision. how was this emotionally going to feel throughout the year? Was it going to be what could I handle it emotionally? Would there be this point where you just kind of fall apart and break down or whatever? I didn't know what to think or what to feel, and it ended up being like this really fun experience, and I started to enjoy a lot of things about my job that I probably took for granted or didn't stop to enjoy or thought that was mundane or like simple morning, you know, Friday morning practice and just trying to get the car better, and things that typically would have frustrated the heck out of you as a driver became really fun, and you knew to take it in because there were only going to be a few more weekends where you got to work with your guys. So I just kind of been telling him, you know, how my experience was, and if that helps him, that helps him. But he's got he's his own thing and his own person, and he already probably has a great understanding of how he wants to accomplish this year and how he wants to approach it. And he probably already got a plan beyond that. You know, I asked him the other day, you know, if he was making plans about what he wanted to drive, and talking about driving other cars and stuff. And I have to believe that he's already got that stuff in the works. But it'll be fun to see what he does, you know, what he does next. And he's an interesting guy. And as much fun as he was as a race car driver, I think we'll all be curious as to what he does after that and how he feels his time. And it'll be entertaining to watch and follow along.
Holly.
Hi, Dale. I remember the day very well, but when you won your second Daytona 500, was that the day you joined Twitter? And I just remember how exuberant you were. Would you consider that to still have been perhaps the best win you had or the most emotional or kind of that level? I just remember your second Daytona 500 win, if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, the first half of that race, we weren't really a factor, and I don't know why. You know, I've watched that race over again, but something happened in that rain break that we had. It changed all of us. All the drivers kind of went back out there and were different. And whether some of us got amped up through that rain delay and some got amped down, I don't really know what happened. But when I got back out there, I drove a completely different race. And I don't know what the reason was, but I was a lot more assertive and a lot more probably frustrating for everyone else out there. But I was – I remember having – we had the lead, and I think it was Biffle was trying to pass me, and he was on my outside, and I had him squeezed up against the back straightaway wall so tight. He was like an inch off the wall, and I was an inch off of him, and I wasn't going to move and, you know, to allow him to be pushed back by me. I had him so tight up against the wall, the guy behind him was scared to push him. And I was so determined not to lose the lead or just to keep the lead, and I wasn't racing that way in the first half of that race. So that's what I remember when I think about it. But I would have to say, you know, it's hard to pick which win's the biggest one, you know, because that All-Star win with my dad and Victor Lane, that was such a great experience. Winning championships in the Xfinity Series, I didn't think I was ever going to win races and become a champion in anything. So to be able to go through that experience with Dad, too, was pretty amazing. And I watch a lot of those videos just to kind of remind myself, because you get so far removed from it, you kind of forget how special it was. But there's some great experiences.
Do we still have a question in the back? Or yeah, okay, we take time for two more. We'll take one in the back, and then we'll go over to Edgar.
Okay, Jason Beck with Speedway Illustrated. My first question is just a yes or no. You mentioned one race a year. How about a truck?
Nope. I don't own a truck.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Second question is, you talked about the joy you get from mentoring the other drivers and giving them an opportunity. Do you ever get a chance to actually speak with them? And if so, what kind of like driving advice do you give them?
Advice on drafting and so forth. Yeah. So Noah came to me this week, and we sat down after my podcast on Tuesday and talked for a couple hours. And he said, you know, it was a great help after the race. He's like, man, all the things you said to do, I did them. They worked. I talked to Briscoe either last year or the year before about, he was like, man, I'm so frustrated with plate racing. I just, give me some advice. And so we sat down and talked for an hour, and he even to this day says that some of that information is extremely helpful in how he approaches the plate races, and it seems to be giving him some good results. I like helping people, and I always say like to see good people do good things. And so any of those young guys want to come to me, and I hope I can help them. You know, I just kind of tell them what I thought and how I approached the race and the things that worked for me and the things that didn't work for me. And hopefully it makes sense to them and they take it and use it.
Go to Edgar, wrap things up.
Yeah, Dale, given your kind of terrifying experience recently flying and then Kobe's tragic death, have you changed your view on flying or given it second thoughts privately?
It's really tough for me to get back in the plane and it'll never be the same. You know, now that you know the real realities and dangers, it'll never ever be the same again. It's something you'll never be able to forget and never block out, no matter how many flights you take. And the only thing that I can do, I guess, that helps me, and everybody's different, right? This isn't advice for everybody, or this is just what I've done that helps me feel better. Is I flew, I basically didn't inquire about the weather or any details, any technical information about the length of the runway we're flying into, or I didn't know the performance of my own plane as far as its ability to land and take off and what kind of, you know, airstrips that it could do that and couldn't do that. And, you know, there's a lot of things that I just didn't even think about, and I just left it up to our guys that were flying the plane, that if they were comfortable, I was comfortable. And I think that for me to be able to get back in there and go and do and travel like I want, the only way I could do it really was to get into the details and feel I'm not flying the plane, I'm not a pilot, but I have as much control as I possibly can in what I'm doing and the decisions we're making without flying the plane. And, you know, I believe in the two guys I got up there. I've known them for 2 decades. And what I've in kind of searching out and seeking out this information and understanding how to read the pilots, you know, the information that they have, it's so thorough and detailed, and trying to even, you know, for somebody like me who's never flown a plane, I mean, some of the stuff is way over my head, but I'm diving in there, into the deep end, trying to learn everything I can about the plane's ability and the decisions they make and why they make them. And it's been extremely educational, as you can imagine. I've learned so much in such a short period of time, and it's kind of empowered me to give me the more confidence in what we're doing and that we are safe and that I am going to be safe, as opposed to I don't want to just quit flying. I don't want to just quit getting in an airplane. I need to get over that fear and work hard to get through it. So that's by, I think, the advice that I got from the people that I sought out. They said, just keep getting back in the plane. And the only way I can do that is by knowing everything I can possibly know about the exact trip we're going to take. And so that's helped me a lot. Like I say, I mean, I'm learning so much every single time we take off and land. I've learned more about what we're doing and why we're doing it and the decisions that they make. And now I'm a bit more involved in the trips we take and what I'm willing to do and not do when it comes to weather and what airports we're flying in and out of. And I'm extremely overly safe on some of those decisions. And it's a bit probably annoying to my pilots. They'd never admit that. But, I have to sort of, figure this out on my own, and it's working out pretty good so far.
Dale, thank you for the time today. We look forward to waving. Look forward to seeing you wave the green flag for the Daytona 500.
Appreciate it. You guys enjoy your day.